has really been aimed towards this and gets a perfect run from the barrier. That's Sabrina going to Brisbane tonight for Bjorn Baker. Here's the first at Awapuni.
Favourite is Tomato's Horse-Drawn, barrier number three. Gates open, they're underway. Bit of a scrimmage there at the start. Serene Star jumped out and collected. At the start, Just Collie and Tomato's Horse, but they've settled just in behind Serene Star. Hancock's Handy. It's been followed by No Quota, who's over on the outside, lying fifth. Two lengths away, Marbelle Kate and Uppercut, and Timothy Johnson is the last one. Down they come on their first occasion. They've got 1,800 metres left to go, and it's Hancock in front for Matthew McNellis, claiming the 3.5. Leading by a length on Tomato's Horse, running second over on the outside of Serene Star, third on the fence, and then came Just Collie with over on the outside No Quota. Second to last over on the inside as they travel up the side of the track is Uppercut, racing with Marbelle Kate, who's next to last on the outside. Over the crossing they go. They've got about 1,600 metres left to go on the first. The placemaker's made in 2,200, where the leader is Hancock by half a length. Tomato's Horse is running second, and Serene Star is put to sleep third on the inside a length away, followed by No Quota, and then came Uppercut, who's moving through between runners on the inside, Just Collie, and now Marbelle Kate is the last one for Rebecca Goldthree. Down the back they run. They've got 1,200 metres left to go. The first of seven here at Awapuni for the Fielding Jockey Club on a Thursday afternoon, and it's Hancock down the back showing the way, making every post a winner by three parts of a length on the favourite Tomato's Horse, and a length away third still, Serene Star on the inside of No Quota. Then came Uppercut wider around Just Collie, and two lengths away Marbelle Kate, the last one, who'd be about six off the lead. They've got 900 metres left to go, and they're about to run off the back, where the leader is Hancock by a neck in advance of Tomato's Horse. A length away, No Quota being stoked up, now being passed on the inside by Just Collie. Serene Stars now asked for the extra effort coming down the side. A length away to Uppercut and two to Marbelle Kate last. Hancock on the inside, Just Hold Sway over Tomato's Horse, margin ahead. A length away, Just Collie. Serene Star, No Quota's called it a day. And then came Uppercut and Marbelle Kate coming around the turn now. 4.50 left to go. Tomato's Horse is now shaken off. Hancock on the inside. A length away, Just Collie out wider. Followed by Marbelle Kate on the inside. Made that turn rather awkwardly. And then came Serene Star, Uppercut and No Quota. Tomato's Horse and Robert Hannum at the 200. Leads from down the outside. Just Collie a length away and beginning to close rapidly. And then came Uppercut and Serene Star, Marbelle Kate. Tomato's Horse in front. Uppercut. Cuts coming through between runners and a raid of knots with Marbelle Kate. Uppercut goes to the front and Tim Johnson wins. Tim Johnson wins with Uppercut over Marbelle Kate, who made the turn awkwardly, got going the last bit and denied the second place to Tomato's Horse, who only ran third. Serene Star. Then we had No Quota with Just Collie and Hancock on the inside.
That's the first race at Awapuni today, and the winner number one, Uppercut, 760 and 297. Marbella Kate at 250 and 2. Tomato's Horse at 150. 1-7 and 2 on the first at Awapuni. The first at Addington Greyhounds is 3 minutes away. We're going to take a break on Sky Sports Radio, and then it'll be Tab Talk.
Hi, this is John Tapp. Join Gareth Hall and me on Tuesday nights for In the Gig. Each week we'll chat about the world of harness racing, from special feature stories to previewing and recapping all the major events. Plus, we catch up on the very latest news. See you Tuesday nights at 6 on Sky Racing 2 for In the Gig.
Alan Denham at Wyong will train the rising two-year-old bay filly by the champion sire Mossman, 70% winners to runners. This is the second foal of the Redoute's Choice mare, Recurrent. She's Bob's qualified, $1,900 for your 1/20th share, $150 a month covers costs. She has an exclusive lifetime free replacement. Call Shelley or Rod on 0352749171. See the website hancox.com.au, AFS license number 227365.
Data has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
10:05, shortly we'll be having a chat with Paul Snowden, also Huey Bowman this morning. Jared Middleton joins you now. Morning, Jared.
Yeah, good morning, Cozzy. How are you?
Mate, the Maroons. You know, the best thing, it wasn't just that the Maroons won, but by 1 point. That was even sweeter.
Oh, gee, you're harsh.
Yeah, and they tried to rob us of a couple of tries, too,
us?
Eh?
Us? Hey? Since when are you from Queensland?
Mate, I grew up there.
Oh, did you?
Udderpool,
oh,
on a dairy farm.
Oh, gosh.
Darling Downs, covered in cow dung, all that.
Oh, look, Origin comes down to big moments, Cozzy. Oh, I mean, 11-10, it's always so close. I mean, we haven't had a 13-plus margin in a game one in Origin for 12 years, and they're just so closely matched, and cool heads just prevailed under pressure. Just watch the set of six from Queensland leading up to their field goal, and the kick option by Michael Jennings on the fifth tackle just before then. That was the passage that, for me, summed up the night. And Queensland just executed under pressure when they needed to.
Well, at one stage there, a friend of mine had a fair bet on the game, and I thought, gee, she's nearly going to collect. She'd backed the Blues, had $2,000 on the Blues to win by five.
Well, I can tell you it wasn't a good result for us at tab.com.au because one punter had $20,000 on the Maroons, another $15,000, and about 65 to 70% of the hold head-to-head was for Queensland. They were very, very well back, Cozzy, but we'll roll up the sleeves and go again heading towards game two, and we'll get Ben Ross's take. He's a former Queensland prop, of course, played more than 10 years first grade footy across four different clubs. We'll get his take on what happened at ANZ Stadium last night.
All right, now they're about to load at Addington for the first. Paul Snowden will join us straight after this, and also Hughie Bowman. Hugh had a very, very lucky tumble, incident, whatever you want to call it, yesterday at Canterbury when the horse he was riding, he just seemed to give it one little backhander with the whip, and it just took off and did a left-hand turn with no indicators and left Hughie hanging in the air. Very, very lucky.
Yeah, lucky indeed. And yep. I'm actually looking forward to asking Hughie about delectation too, because that must be a nightmare to ride, because he burnt the punters a bit last Saturday. Again, it can be either rocks or diamonds. So I'm glad to see Hughie's okay after that yesterday anyway.
All right, we'll clear Addington. Then Paul Snowden joins us. Race one, Addington.
Usually rockets home pretty strongly. So in the first, 6, 8, 7, and 5. And they're about to move into the boxes here for the first of the afternoon. Plutonium, the inside, Gold Star Jr., Opal Kendall, Nicky Noir. That'll be followed up by Run Zola, No Clown, Mystic Action, and Opal Rob. And the favourite looks to be Plutonium. It's into 3:30 now, so they've come for this dog late, haven't they? Plutonium off the inside. 3:30, 3:90, Mystic Action. And right about $6.20, Opal Rob. In they go. First of the day. Plutonium the favourite, down on the inside. Gold Star Jr., Opal Kendall, Nicky Noir. Run Zola, No Clown, Mystic Action, Opal Rob. Green light is through to the control tower. Buddy set in motion. They're about to jump. First of the day. Set, ready. And racing down on the inside, Plutonium jumped nicely, showing up their wide Mystic Action, right up there to a Power Kendall. They're followed down on the inside by Gold Star Jr., gets a run through, round the outside trying to improve. There is No Cloud is getting handy. They're followed by, now Run Zola drifts a bit, little gap though, Power Robert out the back, Nicky Noir out of the back now. And it's Plutonium, Mystic Action, and railing up beautifully, Gold Star Jr., two or three back, No Cloud around the corner, still kicking here. Well, Gold Star Jr.'s grabbed the lead, will dash away. Gold Star Jr. at the late, No Clown. Now third, I think you'll find a bit of Power Kendall, close up Plutonium, and also Mystic Action right behind them. They were followed further back there by was it Run Zola back there with Nicky Noir and a Power Rob towards the tail.
3-4 in a photo there. Number three gets the money. Gold Star Jr. $20.80, 4.60. Second will be 4 No Clown, 5.60 in a photo for third. With Sean Cosgrove and Jordan Middleton, Hughie Bowman joins now after an acrobatic act, and fortunately, an injury-free one yesterday. And at the races, Hugh, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you both?
We're well. It looked a little bit like Cirque du Soleil there, Hughie. The horse did the left-hand turn, no indicators, and you were just left hanging in mid-air.
Yeah, it was an unexpected surprise, and I was lucky to come out unscathed.
It appeared, just watching the race, that you'd given him one little backhander down the offside flank, and he just didn't like it, California man.
Well, he showed he actually showed a glimpse of that sort of behaviour at Kemble the start before. Not that I rode him there, but I'd say he's a pretty weak-minded animal, to be honest with you, because I was perched up there behind the eventual winner of James and Bart Cummings, and Blake appeared to me to be just feeling for his animal, turning home, and I was travelling, you know, really well behind him. I just peeled out off his heels, you know, to move up to within sort of half a length of him, you know, approaching this is what I was planning to do, and, you know, as soon as I got off his back, my horse was inclined to wander out, you know, and really all his concentration went to sort of misbehaving, but his concentration just went away from the job at hand, and he was inclined to lug out with me, and I instead of riding him forward, I got him rebalanced and organised, and then he started to lay in, and that was the reason for pulling the stick through. And by this stage, you know, we're at the 250 metre mark, and I had a good two lengths to make up, and I felt as though I had the engine in the horse, but I just couldn't seem to get him to concentrate on the job, and yeah, he didn't really appreciate my encouragement, apparently.
I'm glad you're okay, Hughie. While we're on the topic of difficult animals, tell us a bit about delectation and how unique that animal is as well to ride.
Delectation's a horse with far superior quality than the one I rode yesterday. Obviously, he's a really top-class galloper, but, he's not easy to ride because he can be inclined to overrace. He's a little bit, I don't know, it's difficult to explain. I mean, when I won on him at Randwick, he was aided by a really fast gallop, and it sort of gave him, you know, before that he was inclined to overrace with Glyn Schofield, albeit over 1,400 at Rose Hill. But the backing trip and the fast pace, you know, he was able to just do everything. He didn't have to think about anything, and that was probably the key to winning that day. But up in Brisbane the other day, the horse has actually matured a lot in a short time. He's really relaxed within himself, which I think probably won't work in his favour racing at Doomben, but I think going forward, it just gives Chris Waller and the team a lot, you know, a lot more horse to work with, so to speak, because he's just starting to settle down within himself, and if he can start to ride a race on him, he could really go on to be a Group 1 horse in the now and beyond.
Stewie, tell us about Winks. It's had that little sort of bit of a let-up, I suppose, had a trial after the ATC Oaks, and won the other day the Guineas, the Sunshine Coast, and got to be a real live chance for you in the Oaks this weekend.
Yes, well, the market suggests he's a good chance, and it's quite a while since I've ridden. I think Fight Stakes was the last time I rode her under race conditions, but going, you know, she is the quality filly of the race, there's no question about it. I guess, realistically, she'd probably be better suited if her Oaks was at Eagle Farm. But in saying that, I think she's probably more suited to the shorter trip of the Oaks this year. So there's a plus and a minus there for it being at Doomben, but you can't fault her performance at the Sunshine Coast 2 weeks ago. And you know, she's drawn nicely. I believe she comes into Barrier 9 if the emergencies don't run, and she should get a nice run from that gate, and, you know, she looks to be the class filly of the field.
She's a $2.50 favourite with tab.com.au and very well supported, best supported indeed. Hughie, in race 5, the QTC Cup, you'll be aboard. That's a good idea. That was a very good win in the Hortensia Stakes at Scone.
Yeah, it was a good win. Look, he's a quality horse. And this horse is a horse that'll be suited by the pattern or the way Doomben tends to race. He's an on-pacer. I'm pleased with the wide draw because, you know, if there is a chink in his armour, it is that he can be inclined to take 50 metres to get mobile. So with the wide draw, that'll enable me to just, you know, I won't have to bustle him. I'll be able to let him get into his stride at his own accord and, you know, that'll enable me to get the best out of him. But his performance was top class at Scone, track record. In fact, I think that's his third track record. So times don't lie. He can certainly gallop, and he's in good shape.
Hughie, another good ride you've got on Saturday in Queensland Camp by Better, unbeaten. Casino Prince Gelding just seems to be right on the up, this horse.
Yes, well, obviously he's a horse I don't know much about, and, you know, I haven't been through the Doomben meeting with a fine-tooth comb just yet. You know, I've got a busy day today at Kembla, but it didn't go unnoticed. 4 starts, 4 wins, so I'm looking forward to getting a feel of the horse. And, you know, another horse I'm looking forward to riding is a Pingle, who was a good winner at the Gold Coast meeting and ran nicely in the Doomben Cup. So I think she's more suited to tomorrow's race, and I think she'll be competitive as well.
Well, Hugh, we've got to ask, obviously Winx is a real good chance for you Saturday. What about today at Kembla Grange? What will be your pick there today?
I've got some nice rides there today. My understanding is that the horse I'm riding for, John O'Shane Godolphin, is a very nice horse and well placed in a maiden. But a horse I've obviously had nothing to do with. But Tower of Song, which I have had a bit to do with, I think will be very competitive in the fourth.
All right, now Paul Snowden's listening to that, so he'll be buoyed by your opinion.
Well, like I say, he's ready to run a good race. First starting a race, so he'll obviously improve with experience, but he'll certainly be competitive.
Hugh, I've got to say, it was good to see you walk back with a grin on your face yesterday, because when you're part of company with that horse, I was looking and thinking, three's on, it's either a knee or a hip you're going to do here when you hit the deck.
Yeah, well, I was lucky. I was more worried about what was happening behind me than how I was going to land. I think that's the third time that's happened in the last couple of years, actually. I had one do it at the trials, the two-year-old trials. Although I hit my head and was a bit concussed when that happened last year. But when you come off the side like that, your centre of gravity is quite low to the ground when you part from the horse. So it's sort of more of a skidding sensation than actually you clip heels or the horse falls and you hit the ground at more of an angle and more speed. That's when you can come under trouble. But fortunately, Glenn Schofield was able to miss me, and
Winona,
I think that saved me a lot of pain.
Yeah, I reckon. Hugh, good to hear you up and about today, which is fantastic news. Good luck on the weekend too.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Thanks, Hugh. Hugh Bayman there. Paul Snowden joins us now, Jared. And Paul, that was a freakish incident yesterday for Hughie. He's very lucky, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. As Hughie said, he was lucky that there wasn't another runner that went over the top of him, because they could have done a bit of damage to him, but thankfully it wasn't the case.
Now, Stradbroke Handicap, Charlie Boy, Hot Schnitzel, what's happening there? Both going well?
They are, yeah, they're in very good order. Charlie come off a very unlucky second the other week in the 10,000. We brought him back home. He's fine in himself. He's jumping out of his skin, actually. So he's ready to go again next week. And Hot Schnitzel's had a little bit of time in between his BTC Cup win. He was sharpened up last week by a really nice trial against some pretty good performed horses that have got a really good turn of foot in their races. So he matched it with them, and it was very pleasing to see. An old horse like him, just show a bit of a turn of foot.
Well, at this stage, Charlie Boy's the best backed in the all-in market with tab.com.au for the Stradbroke at $10, coming off that quality second to Bowben in the 10,000. Paul, that's a good idea. We just heard Hugh Bowman talking about him in race 5, $4 chance. How's it tracked since that Ortensia Stakes win at Scone?
Yeah, he's really good. He's a big brute of the horse. He really thrives off really frequent hard racing. He's one of those probably old style sprinters probably that just seem to thrive on it. You could really back him up every week. He's that type of horse, and the harder the track, the better he goes. So it's pretty dry up there, so it'll be even dry for Saturday, hopefully.
Now, Dublin Lass is another one you got in Saturday. It's been going terrific of late.
Yeah, she is. Stablemate beat her last start, but she had every chance. She drops down to 54.5 on Saturday and got a nice pushy gait, so she makes her own luck, and I think she's going to be right in the money.
Now today, Kembla Grange, you've got a few in there. What will be the pick today, Paul?
We've got half a dozen going down there. There's a couple of nice horses there, Roaring to Win. He's come back as a gelding this preparation. Hopefully can be the making of the horse. He's always a bit of a thinker, so hopefully we've taken that out of the equation, but he seems to have trialled well enough to be competitive today, and there's a couple of first starters there that have shown a bit in their trials, and hopefully they get every chance. One's ridden by Huey and Blake's on the other one, so we've got good riders on that should give them every chance.
Just finally, you mentioned Charlie Boy coming back home. Have you brought him back here to Sydney, and is Hot Schnitzel still in Queensland?
No, Hostage was here, and they'll both travel up middle of next week. We're not leaving a lot of horses there, only if we have to. Dublin Lass has stayed up there because she's a different type of horse. We'd rather sort of leave her up there and get her settled into an environment rather than keep swapping and changing with her. So, look, it's worked all carnival for us, and it's an easy trip up there now. It's, yeah. The times we leave, it's 12 hours basically to box to box, so it's quite an easy trip for them, and they're handling it well, so we dare not change anything.
Terrific. Well, Paul, we appreciate your time. Good luck today, and good luck on the weekend in Queensland.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Snowden joining us there. We'll take a break, come back in a moment. 21 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has racing covered every day. And on Sunday, it starts with Racing Retro.
Racing Retro.
Get your complete wrap of the week's racing, including all the Brisbane Winter Carnival news and guests. Join host Matthew Browning. Hear from the winners with Brent Zarafa. And get the best reflection and analysis with Ron Duffacy and Richard Friedman.
What it's all about. Complete coverage on Racing Retro. Sunday mornings at 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
An enormous jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a $200,000 Big Six jackpot at Rosehill Gardens. That's right, a $200,000 Big Six jackpot. Plus, this Saturday night, there's a $20,000 quaddy jackpot at Wentworth Park. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local tab. Tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Time to get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now it is 23 past 10. Ben Ross is joining us now, Jared.
Yeah, Ben, looking forward to chatting about Origin. Good to talk to you. Well, I'm not really considering the Blues loss, but...
He's sucking it, Ben. He's sucking it.
Anyway, let's talk about it. Origin moments, it comes down to moments, doesn't it, Ben? What was the defining moment for you from what you saw last night?
A number of things, but I think Queensland won as soon as they ran out on the field. Typical Queensland support. But the defining moment was that last 10 minutes of the game where the composure of the Queensland side was, I suppose, that experience. The last 9 years they've all been together. They knew what they had to do to get that field goal, whereas New South Wales just panicked when it came to that situation.
Yeah, it was telling, wasn't it, that moment when New South Wales had the chance there. It went to the wrong person, went to Josh Dugan, who did an attempt on the run, whereas you saw that set of six leading up to the Queensland attempt, and you just went, there are the cool heads.
Well, that's the thing. But then I also looked at the New South Wales pass from Robbie Farah, that you had the two fellas, Hodgson and Dugan, standing right next to each other, and they do look the same. They're both pasty, and they've both got a heap of tattoos. So, I don't blame them for passing to the wrong colour.
That's one of the best lines I've heard. What an excuse.
you Queenslanders, how smug do you get? Seriously.
And I'm the happiest man alive.
Clearly.
Queensland lost.
Hey, Ben, wasn't it good? Just 1 point, too? Made it even better.
Yeah, all right. Now, much was made of the New South Wales bench heading into this one, Ben. There's an argument, though, that the Queensland bench even outplayed them. Josh Maguire was pretty good in particular off the bench.
Yeah, no, Queensland were particularly good, but I still believe New South Wales had the dominance in the forwards. They started that first 30 minutes of the game outstanding. The interchange was great, and they came on and had that impact. But I think they lost that 10 minutes after half time where Queensland had the rotation just perfect. The guys came on fresh and they sort of set their dominance and continued on for the rest of the second half. And that's where the backs for Queensland showed their experience and scoring abilities.
Ben, the second half, watching on telling this to the commentary and so forth, it was just like everyone kept saying New South have gone missing. There's only one team playing here. You put the sprinklers on the other end. What went wrong?
That's the thing. I don't know whether New South Wales were trying to protect that lead. That's the thing. I know New South Wales, we talked about before coming into this series, is they don't score many points. So whether they knew that they probably weren't going to score that many tries after half time and they just wanted to defend it out, and whereas Queensland have been known for their try-scoring capabilities and I suppose had that confidence to rattle a few cages and get the point.
Greg Bird, Paul Gallen, just how much were they missed by the Blues? Gallen in particular.
Yeah, no, after playing with those guys for quite a number of years, they are really the hardest.
One sec, Ben. They said adding Tim will take them now.
Last couple are in. The green light is through. Bunny set of motion. They're about to jump. Race number two, set, ready. And racing, Mamalulu jumped out beautifully, followed out wide there by Tipperetta Hendrickson, going around as Tina. They're followed three lengths back by Bad Week. Now going around as Will Excite, they come to the corner, further back there, well back Jasper Harker around the corner. Tina's hit the lead. Here's Will Excite putting in the big run down the outside, but Tina got home to beat Will Excite. They're followed by Tipperetta Hendricks. Then in behind those runners, Mamalulu, Bad Week, Jasper Harker missed the jump and ran on late towards the tail. I, Adam and Wrinkles would have been back there as well.
Now, the numbers over the line there will be 7, 8 and 6 for the looks. Number 17 against the money, and it'll pay for the win, $2.30 and $1.10. Second number 8 will excite, $2.40 and 6. Tipperetta Hendricks will pay $2.40, men. You're wrapping up on your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, no, and like I said, without Birdie and Gal on that side, they do lose a bit of pack of the punch kind of thing. And but then again, you got Josh Jackson, who I thought was probably the best forward on the field last night.
What do the coaches do heading into game two, particularly Laurie Daly? He's already voiced his confidence in the halves pairing. I thought Mitchell Pearce was pretty good last night. Can you envisage any changes, if any injuries pending, of course, across both teams?
Yeah, no, and I think that's the best thing Laurie could have done, is to voice his opinion about keeping the halves and giving them the self-belief that they did play well, and it was unfortunate it was only a one-point game, and that he'll go in looking after them. But I really think they did miss Luke Lewis. I thought having him on the bench, he could play a number of positions. It's just four forwards is good, but Louis just covers so many, and I think you'll see him in game two, hopefully.
I was so with you there. If you look at Origin the last 3-4 years, the impact Luke Lewis has had off the bench has been enormous. Baffling decision, I thought, to leave him out, but David Clemmer was quite good as well for the Blues.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. We talk about some players are built for Origin. Luke Lewis is. A representative footballer, he seems to lift the level. I know Queensland back in the day used to pick Gavin Allen and those boys from reserve grade because they knew they could do a job. And yeah, it's just I'm hoping they give him a chance. But Clemmer was great. He's 120 kilos and he's 6'4". He's built for Origin. And the experience that he got from last night, he'll take it into game two and hopefully have a better match.
And he's angry.
Yeah, he's angry. So that's one of the things I find about Origin at the moment, that the fighting at the start of the game that everyone always used to look forward to has been put out of it, and now they push and shove for 70-odd minutes before starting to play footy.
Ben, this next game being in Melbourne, given the state of play at the moment, is this going to favour either side, or do you think they both go there on even ground?
No, it's Queensland's home ground. You've got all the Melbourne boys in the Origin side.
Yeah, the Storm boys. But even so, they don't play at the G that often. Well, the only state of Origin.
No, but then you've got the support, all the Melbourne-based supporters down there. They all love Billy Slater, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk, and you've got Greg Inglis there, so... Yeah, no, I think you're going to find that it's going to be more of a home ground for Queensland than it is New South Wales.
Oh, yeah, let's face it, unless the game's in New South Wales, it's people cheering for Queensland. People love seeing New South Wales lose, and the markets now, Queensland are $1.15 to win the series, New South Wales $5.50 in the correct score market. Now, Queensland 3-0, Ben, has been very well backed. It's now $2.30. Do you envisage this being a sweep?
And so my fingers crossed it is. I've had a few sides. I have a bet with a mate that I'll be wearing a tutu if it's not a clean sweep. So, I'm hoping it is. I'm that confident the boys will come through with it. You've got Greg Inglis, who was struggling with tonsillitis, and now he'll be back to full health the next game. And I think he was one of the big deciding factors. He had two wayward passes and a dropped ball. So those things could have led to tries, and I think he'd be at his best at game two.
Amazing, that game in Melbourne. It sold out in no time.
Yeah, I don't blame him. It's a fantastic field, and it'd just be a great experience.
Just getting that image of you in a tutu out of my head. You do a lot of great work for the Men of League Foundation, of course. Ben, what are you up to at the moment?
Yeah, no, we just finished the Ray Blacklock event on the weekend, where we had 700-odd people supporting him, and he's just been struck down with MSA, which is a debilitating disease that it's incurable. So we're just supporting him through, hopefully, as long as we can through his life. And it's been a great support there, and we're just helping out everyone in the rugby league community, as you know, and moving along in leaps and bounds at the moment.
Yeah, you do a great job. And the website, menofleague.com, from memory, just remind us of that when people want to donate.
menofleague.com, and you can become a member for $20, and and it's simple. It supports us. It helps, like I say, it helps the volunteers. It helps the mums, dads and kids. It's not just NRL players, it's everyone in the game. And, yeah, it's good that if everyone can back us.
Yeah, great.